Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, Brother Chauncey, how are you today?
Pretty good, man. Doing great. You know, everything's winding down, and it's like the year going so by so fast. And
yes, it is, man.
Things coming together and working hard.
In February, getting ready to go into this March Madness.
That's right.
Which is always our favorite time of the year.
That's my favorite. I know it's around.
Big Red's undefeated.
Yep, Big Red's undefeated. That's great. The boys is doing their thing, and I know they had a big write-up about Coach Guy in the paper being the area coach of the M Live post.
Yeah.
I know he don't get up for that.
Best coach in the area. Yep. Whatever. Yeah.
I know he don't get up for that stuff because who?
Oh, no.
No coach does.
No.
It's just like you know how it is. One minute you love, one minute you hate it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You never can be good. You never can be right. So
he's been on both sides of that bet. But you can't argue with success. Though.
That's right. You can't argue with success.
You look at his record since he's been in Muskegon, as well as if you factor in his hikes time.
That's right.
The guy is a winner.
He's a winner. So. Okay. Bottom line is, and so it's just good to see somebody that come from this community, urban setting, brother, get a positive reflection in the news, and I can dig that.
Yeah, yeah, I like that when we can give some positive information about our school system.
That's right.
That's great because he's a great ambassador for the school as an AD and a basketball coach. Tough guy. He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's on our docket today, Brother Chauncey? What we gonna do?
Like you said, March Madness, they push the tax things back. What? A lot of people getting their tax returns probably around this time right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Mid-February.
Okay.
Those checks should be rolling in for those that went for the early sign-up.
That's right, yep.
And let's hope whoever did their taxes took advantage of all the various tax credits, tax deductions that are out there, because there's quite a few.
That's right. Quite a few in this. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, crack tax credits and tax deductions at a one-on-one type of level, a 100-level type of course for you today. And just sharing with you that it's two basic types. It's refundable and non-refundable tax credits.
Okay.
So that's what we have.
I mean, you know, and then there's credits you can get for like home heating credit.
That's right, home heating credit.
Okay, so that's something that everybody does, pay their heating bill.
That's right.
And you should definitely take a look at it to see if you qualify. It's an income-based credit. Single person, $13,000. If you make up to 13, you can get this credit. Two-person household, 17, almost 18,000. And it goes by the number of people in the household. So if you have not done your taxes, make sure whoever does your taxes that they look into the home heating credit as well as the homestead property tax credit.
That's right. Those two. Yeah. Well, so what's the homestead?
So even if you rent, if you're a renter, a portion of the money that you pay in rent is being allocated for property tax.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So even though you're not the owner of the building, you're not the landlord, a certain portion of your rent that you pay goes to property tax.
Yes, it does.
So like, for instance, my mom, she lives in a senior citizen building. She pays X amount of dollars in rent every month, and we still do a homestead credit act every year. She gets money back. So don't be confused for the fact that if you only pay rent that you're not entitled to that, but that's what it's for, as well as homeowners. Okay, if you're a homeowner and you pay a higher percentage in property tax based on income, then you can get a credit back. Okay, so again, make sure whoever does your taxes that they take a look at the homestead property tax credit as well as the home heating credit.
Yep, I have some other ones like sitting up here talking about credit, like. Sometimes for the person that's not into that do standard deductions or they don't know about certain things like this, just breaking down the credit, I got a great explanation in front of me. Basically, tax credits lower your tax amount.
Right.
The dollar for dollar, whereas the tax deductions reduce your taxable income. Good. And that's what I love right there.
That's good, man.
A lot of times I don't be worrying about getting a refund. I'm like, lower my income so mm-hmm. I can do things as if I'm I wouldn't say that my adjusted gross income is in a certain bracket, but I needed to be there to do certain to qualify and be in certain places in my life. So I look at it like that's the benefit of I'm not a millionaire, but I know certain millionaires think like that too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like, you want to keep more of your money.
That's right.
That's what the deductions are for.
That's it. And then, for example, here's an example. If you're in the 25% bracket and a $1,000 deduction lowers your tax bill by $250, 25%, but a $1,000 tax credit can lower your tax bill by up to the full $1,000, no matter what your tax bracket is. And then when you look at that, you're like, okay, well, it depends on how you claim it, right?
Yeah.
It depends on how you break it down. What are you claiming? So look at if you're itemizing or if you're standard deduction, then here's another example to extend on that. With the real refundable tax credits, if the amount of income tax you owe is less than the tax credit, so you got this tax credit that they're giving you, and the amount of income you owe is less than that, for which you are eligible, not only do you pay no tax, but you actually get a refund for the difference. For example, if you owe $750 in taxes, but you allow an allowance of $1,000 in refundable credits, you receive $750. You receive $250. So look at that. With those credits, it's more money set aside for you if you don't reach that max. But then if you reach that max and you got some business and you're like, ooh, I lowered my income by $1,000. You might need that to avoid to be in a higher bracket,
tax bracket, right,
to save more money. You probably save $5,000. You don't know what could you can move in a bracket and change a whole different dynamics of your taxes.
Right. That's deductions versus the credits. And they're both good things.
Yeah. So we covered homestead tax, and then the other one we just covered.
Home heating credit.
What about this one? The earned income credit for low income workers.
Tax credit.
I know I hear that one a lot, and they just make it an acronym.
Right. The EITC, based on income, okay? With three qualifying children, married, $53,000 is what the ceiling is.
Yep, I got that right here.
To qualify for the tax credit. And you get between $44,000, $50,000 married, filing joint with two qualifying. And then you get $39,000 to $44,000 with one child qualifying. $14,000 to $20,000 married, filing joint with no qualifying children. So you still get an earned income credit. You know, and we're just giving you the quick version of these credits because it would take the entire show to really go into detail on each one.
Yeah, I got
these are ideas to give to your tax preparer.
Yep, I got a breakdown of like some numbers. Like, say, if you got three or more kids, it's $6,269.
Three or more kids.
Yep. Then if it's two qualifying kids, you got $5,572. These are like 2016 numbers. You get a credit. So, like I said earlier, if you go up to that credit and you get a refund if you don't max it out.
Okay.
So that's how people get a lot of money when it comes to having kids, and you will qualify for a certain amount of income that you mentioned earlier. So if you fall in those two areas, now you're looking for a possibly big refund check if you had the right withholdings. Next is if you had one qualifying child, $3,373, and then where I fall at, but I'm not in that income bracket, $506 with no qualifying children. So
check this out. It says beginning in 2017.
Yes, sir.
All EITC and additional child tax credit returns will not be issued by the IRS until February the 15th.
And that's what's going on right now.
Right.
So people,
this means if you file early, you should not expect to receive the refund in your bank account or check or mail until the end of the month.
So why do you think they're doing that? I think I know. But let me see. You think they're doing that?
I honestly don't know what the purpose is in delaying, other than the fact that
how people came kids and they can do their due diligence.
I think so. I think they're doing a better job because, unfortunately, I know people that have filed their taxes and the IRS calling back and says, hey, we flagged your account because your child has already been claimed by somebody else.
Yeah, that's one of
them. What? How did that happen? Okay. And unfortunately, the IRS won't share that information. Is that crazy?
They won't share it. I know. That's crazy.
But I think you're right, Chauncey. They're trying to do a little better job of due diligence and verifying these folks on this tax credit are actually
that's a lot of money.
Dependents. Yeah.
Man, they're talking about at least, for one, going back to what I have in my notes, and this is 2015 numbers, you're talking about $5,000?
Okay.
If I got two kids, if I can add an extra one to that, that's illegal, but that's $5,000.
I don't think people aren't doing it. Oh, what's the difference? Stealing kids now, man, for IRS. And it's fraudulent. I heard, too, that there are people out there filing taxes in the name of other people in which you get a refund.
Yes, I heard of that, too.
So this tax thing is being hit by fraud as well. And I guess they're trying to really crack down on it.
Man, that's amazing. I don't know what to say. So it's a lot of things to make you think, like why would somebody want to do that?
Getting that cash, man.
That's I guess cash rules everything around.
That's it.
Cream, that's what they call it. Cash rules everything around me. That's amazing. So that's one, that's the earned income tax credit. And then you have something I was looking at. I was like, well, the child tax credit. So if you have
right, there's a child tax credit. Yep. Qualifying child for this credit is someone who meets the qualifying criteria of six tests, age, relationship, support, dependent, citizenship and residence.
Yes.
To qualify, you must be under 17 or younger at the end of 2016.
And then it talks about one of them. It says this credit can be worth up to 35% of your qualifying cost of care, depending upon your income. When figuring the amount of your credit, you can claim up to $3,000 of your total cost if you have one qualifying individual. If you have two or more qualifying individuals, you can claim up to $6,000 of your cost. So basically, somebody can say, hey, let me get to claim them kids, but you didn't do none of the work for during the year. Somebody right. dropping them kids off at the babysitter. They watching them. They going through all this, being with them every day, and you get to claim them? Or they claiming them illegally? And they can get a credit up to $6,000?
Yeah, that's the child care, claiming the child independent care.
Yes, right.
And it says that payments for care cannot go to your spouse, the parent of your qualifying person, or to someone you can claim as a dependent on your return.
And what they do is, like a lot of times, some people might get a relative to watch their kids, and they claim that.
Yeah. But then that person has to also claim that payment as income.
Yeah, and then they have to go take them classes. Like, they got some classes down at the Y where they can be certified now. So they try to do their due diligence to cover it up. Not to cover it up, but make sure people are certified to babysit at a certain age, all that. And then they have to be compensated. You have to give them a 1099, all those
and
things.
It's got to be reported as income.
That's right.
Right.
So it won't be no big check going to one person. And you buy that person that babysitted that's 15 years old a pair of Jordans and you say, hey, thanks.
And then you want to claim the credit.
And you got the $3,000 in your pocket. But then that person, they only got a pair of Jordans and you took them to Red Lobster.
Okay.
my baby cousin babysitted my kids for the whole year. I got an extra $4,000, Tony.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to buy them some jewelry. I'm going to get them 10% of that.
Right.
Oh. 100. No, you can't do them people like that. Yeah. But we done seen it, though.
Yeah, you got to report it. It says you must include on your tax return the name, the address, the Social Security number of the individual or employee identification numbers of your care provider.
Yep.
You got to report it, and they got to make sure that it's all accurate.
Some I'm not familiar with. I know my parents were older, and they were. My mother was in an aftercare home, and my father got placed in a home also. I was this area was gray to me, and my family just did the standard deduction of them. But you probably can expound on this one: the elderly and disabled credit.
So that's sort of like providing nursing home, right?
Okay. Yes.
And you've opted to provide care for your aging parents within your home because they are still of age and they're probably receiving Social Security disability or whatever. There's a cost associated with the care of your parents, and you can claim that as a deduction.
Okay.
Because they're dependent on – are they dependent on you or what?
I hope so.
They are dependent. They're dependent on you to provide care for them.
I hope so.
Those are the deductibles on your taxes.
That is right there, audience. There it is. So the yep. elderly and disabled credit. So if somebody have a relative that's probably suffering from an
disabilities.
We're yeah. talking about like a cerebral palsy or something like that. They can get a tax credit for having that person in their household. But see, a lot of our audience, they probably don't even know that.
Of course, because it's not common that you think you this is just a gesture of caring, okay, that you're going to care for somebody in your family
yes, sir.
That is disabled. They can't clean their house properly, they, you know, can't take care of themselves properly. But you can actually get paid as well as do a tax credit for that service. Definitely, if there's a social worker involved, they can explain to you how that impacts your income, tax credits, and you want to make sure that you get everything that that you got coming as far as providing those services.
You're right. You're exactly right. Then the next one I have is the American Opportunity Tax Credit. Okay. I remember getting this in college, the HOPE Scholarship one.
Yep.
The refundable for most people. So I know you got kids, too, that attended school after high school, so that HOPE tax credit.
Yeah, I've taken that. And that's a part of that whole education tax benefits for education.
That's right.
There's a lot of credits and deductions.
Man, that's the life I'm living. That's the life I'm living right now. I like it. Like this is lifelong learning for me right now.
Okay.
Sitting here because I didn't have no radio background coming in learning, sitting here in service teaching me. This is a credit for me.
Okay.
I'm going to be real with you.
All right.
Because I'm a business entity. I'm an LLC, mm-hmm. and I'm an educator. So by being here with this technical equipment, sitting here with DJ Q89 and PA and them showing me, and them being those being the experts and being trained technicians at this stuff, this is like an in-service for me.
Fantastic.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm claiming this on the credit, Tony.
Why not?
Because now I know how. Because look. Look, just by me showing me how to push a button on this, it's like that's an in-service because yeah. he's certified to do this work. He went to school, and I'm an educator.
Okay. So I know I couldn't. I look at this.
Just yeah, me button. Either. When I first walked in here, we know how to push a couple buttons in here. But in the same capacity, I got it broke down, the lifetime learning credit.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go through some of the things in it. So, but that's how I look at everything, going to coaches' clinics.
Mm-hmm.
Going to seminars for my business. If somebody say you need to come to this credit seminar or you need to watch this podcast, Chauncey, make sure you log in with your ID. We got some in-service stuff we want you to listen to in my teaching job. Those are things that you get a hotel stay or something like that. Those go towards that. So it's just stuff that you got to think about. But I itemize, so it's.
Yeah, you get, you know, if your job requires you to continually keep your skills upgraded.
Yeah,
so all that stuff is tax deductible, man.
Yep. So what it says is an education credit helps with the cost of higher education by reducing the amount owed on your tax return. If the credit reduces your taxes or less than zero, you may get a refund. There are two education credits available, and we talked about the American Opportunity, and then the other one is a lifetime credit. Now there are additional rules for each credit, but you must meet all three of the following either credit. Your dependent or third party pays qualified education expenses for education, laptop, books, printed materials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, an eligible student must be enrolled in an educational institute. I went to get my seminary degree. That was part of it. I was older at the time. I wasn't even thinking. I was like, that's an education, Chauncey. I was just doing it because I just wanted to make sure I learned more about the Bible. And it was an opportunity to get a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it came in, I'm talking to my accountant, he say, you still in school, you going to class, man. I mean, y'all know you want to serve God, you want to do certain things, live your life a certain way, but it's a benefit to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like because I wasn't learning parochial school things, you know.
Right.
And I was like, well, I don't worry about these. Like, no, that's a university.
That's still a credit, man.
Still a credit. So that all that stuff counts. So looking at that, and the third one is the eligible student. Is on your tax return or your spouse or dependent you list on your tax return. So if you're eligible to claim a lifelong learning credit and you are also eligible to claim an American Opportunity credit for the same student the same year, you can choose to claim either credit, but not both. So that's it. So you got to figure out which one you're going to claim. But by claiming, my thing is, if you got a student in a household, they just Would they file, or have to be a standard deduction for them? Because they could file, you could claim them. Could it be like that, or you have to just they just be a dependent for you while they in school? Like say somebody in undergrad, they 17 years old, they 19, they got a work study job. It's better off if you claim them, right? Because they're not making a lot of money.
Yeah, depending. Okay, first of all, they got to be at the house, right? They got to be in the household.
Or they claim the address when they on college, in the college campus. That's what I used to do. I claim my address in Muskegon. And I lived on campus.
Okay.
So then I probably made $12,000 off my work study job in 1 year.
Yeah, not much.
So then it's like my parents could benefit better if they claim me.
There'd be a larger deduction for them to have you on their policy, on their taxes. And then, therefore, you can actually go ahead and incorporate those deductions in their taxes.
That makes sense.
Okay, because you're a dependent.
Yeah. So here goes some things. Tuition and fee deductions.
Yep.
So you got those fees, that's all those fees.
Qualified education expense.
Yep, that parking fee, this fee, that fee. You're like, what is all these fees in?
Room and board is a qualified education expense.
That's right.
Books, supplies, equipment. Other necessary expenses, such as transportation. Okay.
You're right. Student loan interest deduction.
Yep. Student loan.
Every year. I'm paying on mine still. I'm not paying a lot now, but I think last year I paid probably like $1,700 in interest. But that's going to lower my income by $1,700. I'll take it.
You don't use it, you lose it.
And then even the car that my wife has that I'm still paying on, that was some interest on that.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm claiming that interest because I use that for business.
Mm-hmm.
So you always got to think about little things that you can be able to do. Student loan interest rate deductions, qualified student loan. This is a loan you take out solely to pay qualified education expenses for you, your spouse, or a person who has a dependent. When you take out the loan, you paid or incurred a reasonable period of time before you took out the loan for education provided. So loans for the following sources are not qualified for student loans: a related person or a qualified employer plan. So sometimes employer plans have where you can pull money out, but you can't. It's different with that situation. So it's qualified educational expenses. You got, like you said, room and board, tuition and fees, books, supplies, and equipment. Other necessary expenses, such as this word right here, transportation, that bus pass, getting the cab, riding on that Greyhound. You know, when you're a freshman, you know how it is.
Right.
So you got to jump. You got a plane ticket. Everybody don't have no car. So it's just stuff when you think about transportation, what you can get on. So the cost of room and board qualifies to the only extent of more than this. The allowance of room and board, the eligible education institution, the cost of attendance, the academic period and living arrangement of the student, the actual amount charged if the student is residing in a housing owned or operated by the eligible education institution. So if you got an apartment off campus, that can be...
That don't count.
That's shaky. So that's why it's like, for me, Michigan State, Michigan's Spartan Village, Campus Hill, those are all facilities owned by the university.
There you go. That's qualifier.
It. That's the game inside of the game.
The qualifier. Yep, can't be a flop house somewhere in town. Okay.
Well, you sleeping on the couch and you stay going to school.
You know, there's another one that's as big as the business deduction work-related education.
And that's what I was talking about. This is work-related education as us being here today. And it mentions it.
If you are self-employed, you deduct your expense for qualifying work-related education directly from your self-employment tax. This reduces the amount of your income subject to both income tax and self-employment tax. So that's good to know.
Yes, sir. Now, it says to claim this business tax-related tax, Tony, it says you must be working. Itemize your deductions on Schedule A.
Yep.
That's me.
Yep.
If you are an employer, file C.
File C.
C easy, F, or if you are self-employed, have expenses for education that meet the requirements discussed under qualifying work-related education and below.
Yep.
So.
The education is required by your employer.
That's right.
Or the law to keep your present salary, status, or job. The required education must serve as bona fide business purpose of your employer. The education maintains or improves skills needed in your present work.
Okay. So now I'm going to say this. I was talking to a guy a couple weeks ago. And he wanted to do some things with his credit and his, you know, get his debt with his wife. And I was telling him what I do. And I was like, I said, the truck I ride in, when I go to coaches clinics, we go to B-Camp, I go to Nike clinic. Anything I do, that's a title I have that I'm being compensated for and I'm building my skills. Okay. He's like, I ain't never think that. I was like, you think I'm going to give my time up? I'm trading my time to enhance who I am, but also I'm being compensated. But as a coach, you're not being, it's like a penny an hour.
Right. If you sit down and put the hours versus the pay, you're losing. It's a losing proposition.
So if you're looking to do something like that to get rich, all you're doing is really building yourself and becoming smarter.
Right. Building your coaching resume.
That's it. So when you look at that, but then there's the other sides, other facets like buying books. And then when I first got into doing prison ministry, and when I did have cable, the Word Network, I was able to claim that. I was like, that was crazy.
Okay.
My accountant showed me. I was like, that's, he said, you work in ministry. You got a seminary degree.
Okay.
He said, you watching people that's your mentors. You bought Creflo's book. You got Bishop Miles Monroe information sitting on your counter at home. You bought that packet.
Okay, to enhance your education.
You enhance your education. He said, you about to go off into another institution and apply what you've learned from watching these shows on television and going to these seminars and watching their podcasts and listening to them.
Okay.
So you about to use that same stuff. He said, the Bible don't never change. You're just enhancing who you are.
Right.
And I was like, wow, I ain't think like that.
Paying for that knowledge, man.
Paying for it.
Guys that know how to get it done.
That's the trade-off of learning who you are and then knowing that you could be not really compensated, but you can lower your income for servicing your community. Because when you look at somebody that's like you say coaching or you're working in ministry or you're doing certain things, a lot of times the money don't come.
Oh, no. You have to go to that next level, okay? High school, coaching, junior college. Unfortunately, these guys don't get paid what they're worth, okay? But when you get to those college jobs, I mean, some of the money that these guys get paid is absolutely ridiculous, okay? When you look at the top coaching salaries in the country, it's like $10 million a year. For the top college basketball coach, which is either the guy at Kansas or Roy Williams at. Where is he at?
North Carolina.
But it's like the big three is, it's actually more than the big three. North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisville. Most of these guys in these programs, man, are multimillionaires. For coaching basketball.
John Calipari.
Izzo is not far behind. Okay, then you factor in their Nike contracts. That's when you really, as a coach, get paid what you're worth. Some of them get paid more than what they're worth, in my opinion. And football the same way.
I got one on here right now. It's a retirement savings contributions for low-income families. Okay. What kind of tax credit is that?
Low-income. So, you know, basically you get a tax credit when you have a 401k.
Okay.
Okay. But I'd have to get some more information on the low income part of it. That's news to me. But normally if you put it into a 401k, just as an example, you earned 30 grand, but through the course of the year, you put 3 grand into your 401k. So now your taxable income at this point is reduced by $3,000. So it's $27,000.
Yes, sir.
Is where we're starting at.
So it's just the wording that's saying low income. So what we're going to probably do next week, talk about school vouchers. We probably can introduce that, though, for low income.
I want to research that and find out exactly how that works. Low income.
Because I know what you're talking about. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Because
we do that anyway. We like, look, make this much money, put that $5,000 here.
Right, it's not taxed yet. Yep. It's only taxed when you take it out of this 401k.
But it's going to make you look good on paper when it comes to your taxes.
Right, it's going to reduce your taxable income. But if there's a credit for low-income folks that are involved in a
saving.
401k,
yeah.
Then we want to make sure we get that information too.
That's right, so we'll do our research on that and make sure we'll be able to build from that. But I just saw it when I was looking
at
you.
Interesting, I didn't see that in any of my notes. But yeah, I'll make a note of that and do some research and we'll find out.
Yeah, because it's looking at last time I checked our per capita, we had probably what? In this area, probably like 20,000.
I would say that's a good conservative number.
And that's anywhere else, that's poverty level, to be honest.
Far.
But it's far. Where the area we live in, it's not bad.
Yeah, I have a thing on my computer. I can look it up where it tells you put in the zip code.
Yes, sir.
And it can give you by zip code per capita income.
I'm going to do it on my phone before we shut off today.
Oh, okay. Check it out.
Per capita Muskegon.
While you're looking that up, For folks that haven't filed their taxes yet, there's a lot of services that you can get that are free to prepare your taxes versus going in and paying the tax preparers that charge a fee. If you just make some phone calls to the IRS, I do know of some places like Baker College, Goodwill Industries, I think even over at the Hikes Library, they do tax preparation for free. Muni and Compass, over on Large.
MoCap,
they do them for free. So you really shouldn't be paying to have your taxes done.
If you're in a certain income bracket, you should not be paying nothing.
Yeah, if you don't have a business or really extensive tax issues.
That's standard deduction.
Standard deduction.
That's one button. That's about three or four buttons.
Yeah.
They got to push.
Yeah, I used to do taxes, and it'd take me every minute of 5 minutes to do them. But I just don't have the time anymore.
Yeah, but if you're doing my taxes, it's something different.
It's going to be hours.
I wish I could get mine done for free. Wish I could.
Yeah, I wish I could too. That's gonna be a tax bill.
Yep, it's always a tax bill. It's already
that's
set aside.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm not complaining.
I'm getting smarter.
I'm good with it.
I was looking at something the other day. I was like, because I I run Facebook ads, right? And I'm looking at the number, and like I can always set what I spend. I was like, man, I spent that money on ads.
Okay.
I was like, that's $3,000.
On Facebook. That's how they make their money.
That's how they make their money. But
I purchased them too.
Yeah.
I purchased them.
But the return that I've had in my business is worth it.
It's worth it. Yep. That's how you got to look at it.
That's how I look at it. I was like, my wife's like, that's crazy. I was like, no, look. She's like, oh, it balances out. I was like, yeah. So I just a number. I just want to just share people that in order to make money, you got to pay money. You got to invest.
You got to invest in yourself.
You got to invest in yourself. Yep. So keep on building yourself. There's credits for it to build your education on your job, to go back to school. All those things when you're working for a company, and the credits are there. It just take a little bit extra homework and just being a little bit more organized. This is the crazy thing. And setting a room aside or draw aside at home so you can have those things together when it's time. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.